In the gospel reading today, we hear about our Lord and his appearance to his apostles on Easter night. He breathes upon them. That is a reference all the way back to the second chapter of the book of Genesis, when God creates Adam from the dust of the earth, and then he breathes the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. Obviously, in this case, the apostles already had natural life. So our Lord breathing on them gives them supernatural life, and even states that clearly, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained. And so he gives them the authority then to forgive sin. That's the part that we have to be able to recognize, and it's something people struggle with. First of all, can somebody actually forgive my sins? Maybe we think my sins are too big. They can't be forgiven. There is absolutely nothing that is too big for God to forgive. The only thing that would stop forgiveness of sin from happening is if we don't want to be forgiven. If we like our sins too much and we refuse, then if we're not repentant, yeah, we can't be forgiven. But if we're truly repentant, there is absolutely nothing that is too big for God to forgive. Secondly, we have to look at what that forgiveness means. He said, whatever you forgive on earth will be forgiven in heaven. It's gone. When God forgives, it's gone. So remember, when he looks at your soul today, anything that you have confessed and it has been forgiven in the confessional is no longer on your soul. It is gone. It is destroyed. It is never going to be heard of again. It's gone. Now, where people struggle with that as they continue with the weaknesses, the memories, and all the struggles that they have, those are the effects of the sin. The sin itself is gone, but the effects remain. Remember, when we sin, we hurt ourselves. So Adam and Eve sinned. They hurt themselves very badly, and us as well. So we're still dealing with the effects of original sin. The sin itself was forgiven on the day you were baptized. It was removed, but the effects remain. Also, our own sins. We hurt ourselves, and we hurt ourselves badly, depending on what it is that we do. And sometimes it takes quite a while to be able to recuperate from those sins. But the sin itself is gone when you confess it and it is absolved. And so we also have to see the way that our Lord works. So many people are terrified to come to confession. This is the devil at work. I don't know what it is that he tells us, but we're so afraid of confessing our sins. Notice the way Jesus handles things. Peace be to you. That's how he handles things in the confessional. Look at what he did with Thomas, who was doubting. Put your finger here into the nail holes. Put your hand into my side. He didn't yell at him. He didn't smack him around. He didn't put him down. He was kind. He was merciful. He was gentle. And that's exactly what he does for you and me in the confessional. He told us, remember, that there's more rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 people have no need to repent. I don't know about you, but in my entire life, I haven't met 99 people who have no need to repent. Every single person I've ever met has need to repent. So when we come to confession, there is great rejoicing. And more than anyone, it is our Lord who rejoices. Because this is the very reason that he came into this world. It's the very reason that he went to the cross, is so that our sins could be forgiven. And what a joy for him when somebody comes and confesses their sins so that they can be removed, so that person can be filled with his grace, with his life, so that person can be united with the Lord once again. That's the way that he handles it. And so it's something that we need to think about, because the devil, he has us just so introspective sometimes. And because we beat ourselves up because of our own sins, we think that that's what the Lord's going to do. Because the devil is there calling us names and laughing at us and mocking us and whatever, we sometimes think that's what the Lord's going to do. That's not what the Lord's going to do. He's gentle and he's merciful. And I should also point out that if there is an area of sin in your life and it keeps coming up and it's brought up in a way that just, you know, it's demeaning and it just keeps coming and coming and coming, that's Satan. God is not there to demean you. No matter what it is that you've done, no matter how heinous the sin might be, if there's something that hasn't been confessed and the Lord brings it to you, there will be a sense of peace that, yep, I know I need to confess this. And once you acknowledge that, it's the last you're going to hear of it. He's not there to try to, you know, rub it in your face and make you feel rotten. He's there to say, look, there's something that's standing between you and me. Let's get it out of the way. And once you say, yes, I'll get that out of the way, he's not going to bring it up anymore. But the devil, on the other hand, is going to bring it up and bring it up and bring it up and bring it up and bring it up. And he's going to try and tell you what a loser you are and how horrible you are and look at how rotten you are and how worthless you are. When that's happening, understand that is not the Lord. That is Satan. Tell him to get lost. The best way of handling that, if you haven't confessed it, yeah, acknowledge, you'll bring it up in confession. If it's already been confessed, just simply say, I've already confessed that and God has forgiven me. He wants you to fall off on one end or the other. Either I didn't do it or it's so horrible that it can't be forgiven. So when you say, I already confessed it, you're acknowledging that you did it, but God has already forgiven me, you're acknowledging it's already gone. The devil loses. Now, he usually will bring up things that we find particularly shameful, because he knows that that's a great way to drive us down, shame us, and put us into a negative way of thinking. But if you understand who that's coming from, that it's not the Lord. Again, look at what Jesus did. If he's going to come to you to point out your sins, he's going to say, peace be with you. Peace. Not shame, not you loser, not you horrible, rotten wretch, don't come near me. No, that's not what he does. He says peace, because he wants that reconciliation between us and him. He loves us. And so that's what he wants, is for that relationship of love not only to be restored, but to be built up. So, some great things for us to ponder. And just, you know, if it's you or a family member or a friend who hasn't been to confession for a long time, just keep in mind our Lord is going to be rejoicing abundantly. He's not there to yell at you. He's not there to make fun of you. He's not there to criticize you. He's there to forgive you. And that's what the priest is there for as well. Standing in the person of Jesus Christ, he's there for the same reason. It just takes a couple of minutes of humility to be able to say, bless me, Father, I've sinned, here's what I did. And your sin is gone forever. Don't let fear or shame or anything else keep you away. Pray for the grace to be humble. Pray for the grace to just honestly confess your sin and let it be gone. And then the peace of Christ can fill your heart. That's what, again, he desires for you. And if we can let our friends and family members know, if they haven't been at confession, that's the reality. We've all experienced it in our lives. We can tell others this is how it works. And this is our Lord's disposition. So if we can see it from that way, and that peace and the gentleness and the mercy, then nobody needs to be afraid. Come to the Lord, open your heart, and let Him fill you with His grace, His peace, with His life.